Hello, I'm Will Stein, and welcome to Geography Island Jams. This podcast is in the same style as the BBC Radio 4 Desert Island Disc series, whereby each episode I ask my interviewee what 8 songs, book, and luxury item they would want to take with them if they were stranded on a desert island. For rights reasons, the music has not been included in the podcast. You can find links to the 8 songs on the LSE Geography and Environment website. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to the first ever podcast of Geography Island Jams. With me today, I have Fabian Nilsson, an undergraduate in the Geography and Environment Department. First year Environment and Development student. This is his second year at the LSE. Fabian decided to switch from accounting and finance at the end of his first year. During his first year at the LSE, he lived in Rosebery Hall. And after that, he lived in Canning Town. Growing up in the UK and going to schools in Surrey and Sussex might make Fabian look like a typical British citizen. Nevertheless, he is not, holding only a Norwegian passport like both of his parents. Excitingly, Fabian's been chosen to go on an expedition to Antarctica to witness climate change firsthand. For my first question, so what made you want to do accounting and finance in the first place?
I don't think I had any solid reason apart from other people were doing it. And I very quickly learned that was a terrible reason. I got pretty depressed. I was like, this is not fun. And so, it kind of led me to think maybe there's better options out there. This really isn't for me. It's for some people, absolutely. Mm. Not for me. And I knew that I loved the environment. I really wanted to do something about it, help with climate change. And so I got recommended the environment program. And now that I'm on it, I'm so much happier. And I realized how many interesting people there are on the course and in the department.
Do you have a favorite topic so far? Is there anything that most has stood out to you that you've learned? Or
I would say sustainable development, the module, but also GY120, so physical, environmental change. It's like physical science behind climate change.
Fab. And then, so your first song, can you tell us what it is and if there's any reasons why you chose it?
So a lot of these are mainly sort of chosen sentimentally. I guess we'll go sort of chronologically because the first band or artist per se I really fell in love with was probably Coldplay when I was 8 years old. And so I'd have to go with Yellow by Coldplay because I listened to that album on repeat, Parachutes, when I was a little kid. I only had 2 albums as a child. It was Coldplay, Parachutes, and another album by Scooter, which is this insanely crazy techno, and that just made my ears bleed. So it was Coldplay all the way.
So now you spent 2 years studying at the LSE. Do you have a favorite experience so far or experiences, anything which comes to mind as your best moments?
Absolutely. So probably when we got dropped off in Skegness in the middle of England, and we had to hitchhike all the way across basically half of the UK. It was very difficult, but at the end of it, when it was getting really dark, we had no way of getting home. It was 6 o'clock, pitch black. We're 2 hours out of London. We were wearing these stupid onesies as well. I was wearing a unicorn onesie. And we managed to get on this train, which was going to King's Cross. It was £30 for a ticket. And so we went up, we were stressing. We were gathering money at the train station, trying to buy tickets and stuff. The train was about to leave. So we run to the conductor and go, please, please, please let us on. We've been hitchhiking all day. We need to get back to London. It's getting dark. We have no way of getting back. This is our only way. Please, can we get on for free? And the inspector was what charity is it for? We went, Mind. He went, don't worry about it. Get on. So we just ran on. We're so happy. Wow. Cracked over some beers as well, celebrating the way back. That was lovely. And I'd say the second one was probably cycling from London to Paris as well. That was really, really, really awesome. Very beautiful. It was with Breast Cancer Now, but I was with part of LSE for that. Probably one of the finest experiences of my life. It's obviously quite difficult, but I'd recommend it to absolutely anyone.
How long did it take you?
So we're cycling on average about 100 kilometers a day, and it was 3 days. So you'd get up at about 5 a.m. with very little sleep, 4 hours if you're lucky, and cycle from about 6 a.m. onwards to about 6 p.m. with some breaks in between, obviously. But the views were stunning, absolutely incredible. The people were amazing. The weather was divine. Honestly, cannot recommend that more. Just, you can see how happy I'm thinking about it. It was really sick. It was really awesome.
Wow. How does it work crossing the channel?
Yes, we had to sleep on a ferry overnight. Like after a day of cycling in England, we were knackered. We slept in our sleeping bags, sitting upright on chairs with all the lights on like this. Like that's how we had to sleep. Just we expected to stay there for like 4 hours until we had to get up and have a 5 a.m. breakfast before, bam, you know, cycling again. Your butt got so sore. My bum was like fully inflamed.
So how many hours a day was that cycling? Was it all day or was it just...
I would say it was around 10 hours a day. I'd say 9 to 10 hours a day, I'd say.
Wow. But now we're moving on to your second song.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what it is and why you have chosen it?
Okay, so my second song is Something About Us by Daft Punk. And I mean, it's got a lot of nostalgic value because I listened to it a lot as a kid. And Daft Punk introduced me to electronic music, apart from Scooter, obviously. but if you listen to it, or if you have listened to it, it's probably the most beautiful electronic song ever made. Everything about it is juicy. The bass line, the synths, the voice, the melodies, the little guitar solo. Everything about it is perfect. You can never get bored of it. So if I was on a desert island, I would love to listen to that song because I've never gotten bored of it. Play it on repeat. And I'm happy, honestly.
Do you have any favourite places in the LSE or in London generally?
Centre building, 7th floor, study spot. If you know, you know. It is just outrageously nice. Everyone's kind of discovered the secret now, but I was there first, like just sitting there, no one around me, a whole view of like London. That was beautiful. And obviously, without a doubt, the geography common room, undergraduate common room. There is so much fun in there. I always go there when I'm free. Everyone's so lovely and sweet there.
And anywhere in London?
Best part of London. Hampstead Heath, without a doubt, Hampstead Heath. Obviously, I know it's a very nice area, but you go there like once in a blue moon. It's just like, it feels like the countryside in London. And growing up in the countryside, like that's a nice little taste of home. But if you just explore, like here's the park and you just go to the left and explore some of the town, there's like some really beautiful pubs and like some sort of tight, narrow streets. And it's just, doesn't even feel like London. It feels like a separate part of England because it's sort of so kind of old fashioned and old styled. I really like it.
So we're now moving on to your third song. Can you tell me what it is and why?
Okay. Club Tropicana by Wham, because it is 1000% the greatest song to dance to in the sunshine. Just puts you in that kind of like groovy mood. It's just such a classic 80s tune. And if you're stuck in a desert island, you know, you're just going to want to boogie out. And it's a great song to jam out to. So 1000% Club Tropicana.
My next question is, what was it like growing up in Surrey? And how does like home and school life compare to living in London?
God, I think going to London really made me realise how much of a bubble I was in growing up here. I mean, I just absolutely love the countryside and I've been so lucky to grow up where I have. And going to London, it's kind of so eye-opening. I know London's also a very nice part of the world, but I just sort of realised like how lucky I was. But that being said, it's really nice to have a change of pace in London. So when I go to London for the first time after a long time at home, I get claustrophobic. Everything feels very rushed, you know, it feels very crowded. I'm like, oh, I need to chill out. And then you get used to London. And then I go home here and I feel agoraphobic, you know, like, because it's like, it's so open, like, what do I do? You know, what's going on? There's got to be something going on constantly. But you get used to it again. So I don't know, they're completely different worlds, but they both have their merits, I guess. They're both really nice. The good thing about London, obviously, is it's so easy to see your friends. At home, it's not as easy because everyone's like so spread out. But absolutely. It's kind of such a different world.
So Fab, we're now moving on to song number 4. Can you tell us what it is and why?
So my 4th song would definitely be Seek Bromance by Avicii. And the reason why is Avicii, you know, he's like my first love in house music. And alongside Daft Punk, put me in this whole musical journey of exploring electronic music. And I just really respect him. There's a lot of people kind of with Avicii's style, but when he first came out, it was very original, unique sound. Like when he really wasn't that big. Like he had just a couple YouTube songs up. And obviously it's genuinely really, really sad that he's died. And so like, it has a lot of nostalgic value for me. And it is just a banger of a tune. I don't know anyone who doesn't like it. It's just a classic, like 2014 tune.
What was the worst thing you did as a kid?
I used to take a coin, and I used to sketch drawings into the walls. I used to draw dinosaurs with loads of spikes around them. And then my mum caught me and said, "Why are you drawing walls?" And I went, I don't know. So I have no idea why I was drawing dinosaurs on the walls.
It's not about drawing dinosaurs anymore.
everyone's definitely, as you get older, I can't remember if he said it. As a famous actor. And anyway, what he said was, there's no such thing as like adults. There's just children with more layers on. And I think that's totally true. I mean, I guess like as an adult, you know, I'm not trying to sound profound or anything, but you know, everyone has like that kid. And as you grow up, you're sort of the same person. You have these layers on you.
Is there anywhere in the world which you're most keen to travel to? Apart from Antarctica, or I suppose you could include it.
Obviously Antarctica, but hopefully I will be going there. Somewhere which I don't have plans to go to yet. California, I would say, or basically just the US, doing a road trip across the US, seeing all the places, like including all the flyover states, seeing like all the culture and like, just, I don't know, there's something fascinating about it. You see it in media the whole time. So it's cool to see how America is, how people live, normal day-to-day lives. The nature I know is amazing. And just spend like 2 months going across in like a camper van would be literally the dream of my life. That'd be incredible.
I know, that'd be quite an interesting one. So we're now moving on to your fifth song.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what you have chosen and why?
So my fifth song would be The Girl from Ipanema. But not just any version, it's a jazz standard, very famous jazz song, bossa nova song. It's the one with Antonio Carlos Jobim, Stan Getz, Yao Gilberto and Astru Gilberto. Probably butchered those names, but this is 100% one of the nicest bossa nova and jazz songs which exists. Those of you who know it, it's just so beautiful, you can sing along to it. And if you're in the sun on a desert island, who doesn't love jazz? So definitely The Girl from Ipanema.
My next questions are about your trip. So tell me more about Antarctica. So what is the expedition and how did you manage to get chosen to go on it?
So the expedition is a 12-day journey, 12-day journey to Antarctica to sort of witness climate change, firstly. But then you're on board with these incredible people, like these incredible leaders in their own field, like the lead advisor for climate change to Shell, David Hone's on board. And so you're learning all about climate change and then learning about the potential solutions, what you can do through policy or through business. And that's really what I want to learn. I want to go into sustainable business. And I'm going to learn all these kinds of leadership skills and storytelling, management, and all the scientific knowledge about climate change. Meet this incredible network while sort of witnessing what we're doing to the earth, like firsthand seeing ice caps retreat, to really sort of give you that kind of image in your head going forward. And so I was incredibly lucky to get selected because my dad literally by chance bumped into Rob Swan, and he's a very sociable guy. I got chatting and Rob said, Rob Swan OB is the guy who runs the expedition. He's the expedition leader. He's British. He's the first man to walk to the North and South Pole. And he's like a famous environmentalist. So essentially, yeah, he said, "Hey, you know, I run this expedition to Antarctica to develop sustainable leadership skills. Is that anything your son would like to apply to?" And I just said yes, 1,000%, instantly, obviously, as anyone would. And so now I'm in the process of fundraising, creating a crowdfunder, and hopefully I'm going to get some sponsors as well, some corporate sponsors. So it's a lot of work to do that, but it's 1,000% worth it.
Wow, it's crazy how right place, right time.
Yeah.
Good, you know.
I was incredibly lucky, incredibly stupidly lucky to sort of stumble upon the opportunity. But you've got to say that immediately.
Yeah, sure. Is there anything you're most excited about going? Or anything which has most surprised you since the process has begun?
I would say the amount of work it takes to fundraise the full amount. It's about £14,000 I have to fundraise. Wow. And so the amount of work it takes to, you know, get just half of that is actually really, really difficult. I first naively thought, oh, I can just, you know, contact some companies and go, hey, I'm going to the Arctic. Why don't you sponsor me? I'll give you some, you know, some nice little brand opportunities. And, you know, it's a lot of work. You have to have a really unique proposal. You have to work to get hard to get it in front of the right person. Not only that, with the crowdfunding campaign, I've worked with a coach to create like loads of rewards and little tiers, and like put a lot of hours into a video, like a fun video for that. But it takes actually quite a long time. That's what surprised me the most. But I'm most looking forward to probably seeing the wildlife and, you know, the penguins and the whales, and being a big animal lover. That's just going to be a very unique experience. So I can't wait to sort of, you know, see all those animals and see what we'd be protecting, obviously.
Is there an animal which you're most looking forward to seeing?
Penguins, 100%. Penguins.
So Fabian, can you please now tell me your sixth song and why?
So my sixth song would be Inner Bloom by Rufus Du Sol. Some of you might know this song. And the reason why I chose this is because me and my close group of friends just listened to this all summer long for probably the best summer of my life. Just going to loads of festivals, not caring the world, you know, getting up to all kinds of nefarious deeds, and this song would always be playing. So it's got a lot of nostalgic and friend value. So absolutely love it. Great tune.
As a child, what did you want to become when you grew up? Is it the same as your ambitions now?
Definitely not. As a child, I wanted to be a Red Arrows pilot. You know, the little, when you have ceremonies or whatever, or, you know, you have those little red fighter jets, which fly and have like that smoke behind it. I was a little kid, I was like, I want to be one of those. For a very long time, I thought that. And then obviously that's changed over the years. And now what I would like to do is hopefully start a carbon capture company, which sounds pretty outrageous, but it's definitely something I'm working towards. So changed completely. Both to do with smoke though, I guess. So
would that be your dream job?
I mean, that would literally be my dream in heaven, is just like is to sort of create a carbon capture company, because a lot of people don't know, if we switch to renewables overnight, then there's still way too much CO2 in the atmosphere, which would still bring us way beyond 2 degrees. And planting trees isn't going to cut it. They're great, plant as many as you can. Unfortunately, not going to curb emissions enough. So really the only way to do it is with carbon capture, but carbon capture through government is difficult because there is nothing to be gained from it really. So if you can really commercialize it on a mass scale, I feel like you can really make a dent, because it is really one of the only options we have. So yeah.
Do you have any pet peeves? Like anything which bothers you way more than anything else?
Yeah, the sound of when people eat ice cream with metal spoons in like a bowl, and you hear it clinking against their teeth, and like their tongues just like sucking the ice cream off. There's nothing which grinds my gears more than that, let me tell you.
So now, song number 7. What is it and why?
Okay, so song number 7 is Aminals, not Animals, it's Aminals by Baths. And it's a pretty strange song. It's a pretty strange artist, but I absolutely love this guy. I listened to him pretty much my entire teenagerhood, especially when I had my first love as well. So like has a lot of that sentimental value. I mean, it's like a very short relationship, but you know, like from like 13 to 16, this artist was like that entire age period for me. So it's got a lot of nostalgia to it.
What's your favorite part of being part of the London School of Economics?
Definitely the geography department. Everyone's just so friendly, like so friendly. There's not a single person which, you know, I don't like. I like literally every single person, which I've never done before in my life. Every single person is just so quality, so stellar and so nice and, you know, welcoming. All of the years, obviously you, Will, all of the teachers, it's genuinely something else. And being in the first year, I felt kind of pretty isolated and pretty alone, and I wasn't in a great place. It wasn't a great time in my life. And like to come to the department, which everyone is so friendly and wants to go out, and I've met so many cool people, like you really want to be friends with these people. And that's the best experience I've had at LSE. And I've never been so happy, honestly, just because of the geography department. So 1000% the department, yeah.
Fab. And on that note, can we have your eighth and final song and why?
Absolutely. So this is Mac DeMarco, My Kind of Woman. And the reason why is because me and my friends, we all love Mac DeMarco. We've seen him live multiple times. And it's a lovely song to relax to. But funnily enough, one night when he was performing this, me and my friends tried climbing backstage to see him in person. All we ended up seeing was his keyboardist pissing behind a dumpster. And he gave us his phone in his sort of drunken stupor and told us to put our names in there. And said, yeah, we could get VIP tickets to the next show in London. Alas, we messaged him on Instagram. No response. We're still mad to this day. We were promised tickets and we never got them.
So Fabian, you get to bring the Bible, the beverage report, and a book of your choice. What book are you going to take with you onto the desert island?
I would probably bring Lord of the Rings, because I know they're really long. I'm dyslexic, so it takes me a long time to read books. So Lord of the Rings would keep me occupied for a very long time.
Fine. And luxury item?
I would say like a music player, like a radio, but that kind of defeats the point of what 8 tracks would you bring with you. So if not that, then like a multifunctional workout bar, like where you can work out your body, because if you're trapped on a desert island, literally what else is there for you to do instead of getting shredded? So that's probably what I would work towards.
Thank you very much, Fabian. It's been a pleasure to hear your Geography Island jams.
Thank you so much, Will. You're an excellent interviewer and the greatest intern that ever lived. Thank you so much.